I want to thank you, Paulo Fernandez, for agreeing to meet with me. You're another person from that little group on Major Street, and I've already met Bob White and his wife, and I've met Mutt, and now you brought me pictures of the lane in that neighborhood and children on the street in that neighborhood. Yeah. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'd like you to start by telling me the years that you lived in the neighborhood. I know you started on Sussex and then you moved to Major.
That's right.
So you came from Portugal and you moved to Sussex. What year was that?
That must have been early 70s, probably 70, 71. I know it was my mom's family's, her sisters were all moving over from Portugal to Canada. So I think there was maybe two or three of us families living on Sussex.
In one house.
In one house. And I guess it was a home base where everyone kind of came in, got familiar with the neighborhood. And then from there, everyone bought their own place in the neighborhood.
Right. And where was it on Sussex?
It was on the north side in between Major Street and Robert Street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And who lived there at the time that you remember the best? Who was living there? How many of there were you and who?
Oh, geez. There was probably anywhere between 8 to 12 people. So 2 to 3 families. Three families. Yeah. So about, 6 little rugrats and...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How many bathrooms?
As far as I can remember, one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how many kitchens?
At the time, I can remember, it was one as well.
Yeah.
It was weird back then because one thing I do remember back then is like every room was either rented out or there was a family living in there. It was really it's very different than nowadays where everyone wants an open concept house. You wouldn't find that back then because every little square inch was being used by someone for sure.
And when you say every square inch, I'm sure you mean that a lot of the bedrooms had two people or three.
Oh, absolutely,
people in them.
Absolutely.
Right. Was there any space where people could hang out together that wasn't a bedroom?
I think where people hung out, from what I can recall, was the kitchen, pretty well. That's where most of us hung out.
Yeah.
It was the meeting place.
So all the other rooms had a bed and a dresser.
Pretty well, yeah. There was no living room. There was a bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That is a wonderful picture. I can just picture it.
Yeah.
And the bathroom must have been quite a joke at
times.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah,
it sure was.
Your relatives came before you. Do you have any idea what brought them here to this neighborhood?
You know what? I think it may have had... Well, at the time, there were... it was a predominantly Jewish and Portuguese neighborhood back then. So I'm assuming that there were... You know, this is where they can come and speak their native language without... And assimilating at the same time without... You know, really going somewhere, having to learn a different language right off the bat. So I think that's why they moved over here.
Yeah. And you came here in
70, 71, towards the end of 71, I believe.
Okay, and you were one year?
Just about a year old, yeah.
And you lived on Sussex for a few years?
I would say maybe even 6 months.
And
six
then your
months
parents
to a year,
bought the home?
And then they bought the home here.
At what address?
At 104 Major Street.
Who are some of the neighbors that you remember there?
Well, I mean, my fondest memories, obviously, of Mort Greenberg. Because he was my dad. He was everything to me. He was best friend. He really took care of us.
In what ways?
Well, you know, Mort was a CBC sports cameraman. So he always made sure we were involved with sports. You know, keep us out of trouble, right? Involved with sports, tried to get us to do things. He'd always meet these famous hockey players after his interviews, and they'd donate sticks to him, and he'd give the sticks to us. I mean, and when people were found out that we were actually playing street hockey with these, you know, sticks that were probably worth something, like, what are you guys doing? We're cutting them down to size. But you know what? Our parents couldn't afford any hockey equipment or anything like that. So he was great. He was fantastic. I mean, he was born on 98 Major on 98 Major Street. He's still there today.
Yeah.
He's just an amazing. He's got so many amazing stories to tell.
Can you recall while we're still talking about it?
Sure.
I mean, you mentioned before I turned this on that something about summer.
Talk summer. About well, that. Yeah. Mort would always travel to Vienna, Austria, to to, I mean, he is definitely an opera fanatic. And so he'd be there every summer, and he was just so good to us. I mean, he would leave us the key to the house, and his house was our playground. He set up, his basement, we set up ping pong tables down there. We'd play hockey down there. We pretty well did everything. And even to this day, you know, you could just knock on the door and walk in, and there's Mort calling, come on in.
Yeah. I've been there 3 times because I've had to go back for different reasons, right. And it's exactly what happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. And he tells me stories. I remember him telling me stories that my dad's house was actually the corner store, if you will, of the neighborhood. The front door was located, which is located now on the south side of the house, was located on the north side of the house. He would tell me stories of, you know, how all the backyards were pretty well chicken coops. Everyone had chickens. You know, he still remembers, like, you know, the roads weren't paved. It's amazing. I mean, it's really pretty neat.
And that's quite remarkable that he would go away for the summer and give the key to these kids.
And there was and back then there was a whole bunch of us kids. There really was a lot of us. Tommy de Medeiros lived at 100, so he was the eldest of all of us. So he Morton knew that Tommy had us all under control, and
hopefully.
Yeah. It was great. Yeah, amazing memories.
Well, I with your permission, I would love to have him hear this piece of the interview.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
He never told me how wonderful he was to you.
Oh, he was. He was so wonderful to all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, because our parents, you know, they came here, I mean, in terms of giving us anything, they fed us, they put a roof over our head. But other than that, they really, you know, they were struggling themselves to get by a new country, getting, you know, job, you know, working all the time. And Mort was always there for us, no matter what. No matter what, yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, now, absolutely. You talk about working. What kind of work did your father do, and did your mother work?
Yes, my dad, he worked in sheet metal. So he did a lot of industrial buildings. Up until I was probably about 14 or 15, I remember walking down south on Major Street, and I saw my mom on the sidewalk, and she was crying hysterically. My dad just fell 30 feet from the top of the roof, and we thought, okay, he may not make it. Anyways, he I don't know what he did to his back, but he never worked ever again. Ever since then.
So how old would your dad have been at that time?
Well, if I was, let's see, 25 years ago, he would have been about, probably getting close to 50.
Uh-huh. So he obviously survived.
He survived.
But what was the damage?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. He wore a metal back brace for years. For years he wore this thing.
And pain?
Lots of pain, yeah. I really do remember, I mean, my dad was, you know, very... He had a lot of energy up until then. Yeah. And then after that, you can really tell that his depression really... Oh, yeah, sure. Because he wasn't able to do the things that, you know, he wanted to do, really. Yeah. But
So that must have affected your whole family.
Oh, it did, yeah. It did.
Yeah.
And my mom, from what I recall, she worked at three small rooms. What hotel was that?
Oh, right. Just off Bloor.
Just off Bloor.
Part of near the Colonnade.
Windsor Arm Hotel?
Yes.
Windsor Arm? Yeah, maybe. So. That's where I believe she started.
And what was she doing there?
I believe she might have been in the kitchen, mm-hmm. helping out in the kitchen. And then she also did that same type of work for George Brown. I don't know, George Brown used to be on Kensington Market there.
Oh, you're right.
Closer to Spadina?
Yes.
I forget. I'm not sure what's... I don't know if it was... No, not Nassau? No, it wasn't Nassau.
Anyway, towards the campus.
Yeah, so she worked there for a number of years.
While you were growing up, when you were a child?
When I was more of a child.
Right. And then when this happened to your father, was she the only person supporting the family? Or did you have some...
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, I guess my dad was receiving workers' comp, my mom, I think at that point, I think it might have been around then where she started cleaning homes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's what she did for many years. Yeah.
And who took care of the children?
You know what? I mean,
Mort Greenberg.
When he was around, sure. But you know what? We pretty well took care of ourselves. I remember as being a young child, my brother and I, who's Carlos, who's 14 months older than I am, we would walk ourselves to school. As you know, I mean, we're talking as maybe from grade one. And we both went to Lord Lansdowne Public School. Mm-hmm. So we'd walk there, and we'd always come home for lunch. And, you know, that way, because we could always watch our Flintstones. Yeah. But, yeah, no, that was great. So we took it, you know, it was one of those, it really was 8 o'clock in the morning, parents kicked you out of the house, and you came back for dinner.
Yeah.
We ran the streets, we knew that, it was amazing.
That's so changed now. But,
yeah.
But for your generation, and for my generation, one generation before, we did play on the streets much more. And now parents are reluctant.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, there did come a point back in those days where, I don't know if you recall the story of Manuel Jacks. He was a shoeshine boy on Yonge Street, Portuguese kid, who was abducted and tortured and the whole bit. And it was at that point where the Portuguese community really rallied around each other because of what happened. And I guess at that point, people were really more reluctant in letting your kids go out or being alone outside because of what had happened.
I remember that. What a tragedy.
Yeah.
A horrible story.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. But you describe that you played on the streets a lot.
A lot.
So from morning to night on the weekend, and your parents would just let you know when it was dinner time.
Pretty well. When someone was hollering, you made sure you came home for dinner. Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, because you really could. We had fun all day long from the morning we got up till, whether it was going up to Sussex and playing hockey at the ice rink up there.
Sussex and
Robert. Is it closed now? Oh,
yeah,
that's a shame.
Yeah, they haven't put ice there for a few years.
Is that right? That's a shame. And one thing I do remember is Major Street. I mean, back then it really was a canopy of trees, and it was all chestnut trees. So as kids, it was fantastic because we would make huge pie. We'd collect all the chestnuts and have chestnut fights or do whatever, because you could do so many things with them. But it was really, I mean, if you look down from Harbor down towards College Street, it really was a huge canopy of just chestnut trees back then.
And the kids played with them.
Oh, yeah. We certainly played with them, yeah. We had a great time.
Mort Greenberg described putting a cord through and whacking other people with it.
We did a lot.
You did that too?
We did that too, yeah. I remember my dad had this old bench on the porch, and it was, you can lift up the seat.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing was absolutely filled to the top with chestnuts. Oh.
Did people eat them or cook
no,
them?
No, we tried, but they would
Yeah.
No, they weren't.
But chestnuts played a big part in your life.
They did.
For two generations or three generations.
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny that you say that, because every time I look at Mort or go by Mort's place, he still has his chestnut tree. A lot of the chestnut trees have been cut down in the neighborhood. I mean, they were getting old and falling over and stuff, but his is still there. Yeah, amazing. Yeah.
But you remember how beautiful it was.
Oh, it was
got gigantic.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing. We'd all get either baseball or football, and we'd sit there knocking chestnuts down all day long, and it was a lot of fun.
When you talk about playing, and you're thinking of playing with your friends, where did you play? You talked about the rink. Where else? Where, what other areas did you play?
We used, we really used the whole community. I mean, we would have Olympic days where we'd set up hurdles and long jump and this, and we used the whole neighborhood. We'd jump people's fences for hurdles. We'd run the marathon around the block, things like that. I mean, yeah, it was.
What about the back lanes?
Back lanes for sure. Every it was all used up by us for sure.
Did you use the back lanes in the same way as the streets, or in any different ways?
No, I don't think so. I think we were just having fun everywhere we were. The streets, well, obviously, we played a lot of street hockey on the streets. They were at least paved.
And that's summer and winter?
Summer and winter, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Winter time, we had a lot more snow, from what I can recall. We had a lot more snow back then. So we had a lot of fun with the snow. Nothing like a kid being outside. I mean, yeah, it's...
Yeah, yeah. And it's much easier for the parents, too. For the kids, too. You didn't have to phone and make play dates.
No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, and everybody, all the neighbors knew each other. And today, there were, sometimes you don't get that anymore, where everybody knew everybody. I mean, you know, you can be disciplined by your friend's mom down the street because that's just the way it was. Everyone took care of each other. It's a little bit different now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, there's certainly not as many young kids around. But then again, the area is not really affordable for young families anymore.
Well, they seem to be coming back.
Slowly.
But I don't know if they're playing on the street the same way you did.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think it's lower density.
Lower density.
You don't have
absolutely
12 people in that house. You'll have four, maybe.
Exactly. Yeah. And I guess nowadays, too, we're not having as many kids, as many children. So, but back then, it was just a, you know, we could easily put two or three hockey teams together with all the kids in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what the years that you lived in this neighborhood then would have been from about 1970
to 70 to about just past 2000, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, so you it's nice for me to meet you because you knew it from the eyes of a child.
I did, yes.
And that's helpful for me to have. When you come and you look around at, well, I just want to say your parents still live there.
They're still there, yes.
Have your parents made any changes to the house that you lived in?
Oh, yeah.
What kinds
Definitely
of changes?
Definitely some changes. The front yard. I mean, you know, if you see some of the older pictures that you may see here of the laneway, the a lot of wooden garages falling over. I mean, even the chimney was just about falling apart. A lot of the house was much older.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, so the facade's new brick, interior as well. You renovated the inside of the house.
Your parents have renovated their inside too.
I think they probably did that, I'm going to say maybe 35 years ago when they first renovated. So they dug down. I remember them digging down the basement because it was pretty well just a crawl space down there.
Mm-hmm.
So I do remember them doing that. And they've slowly renovated throughout the years.
Do your parents speak English?
They do. Not very, very well, but they do.
Do you think I could meet with them? Maybe with you there?
Sure.
Yeah?
Sure.
Okay, so
absolutely.
We'll talk about this after.
Sure, absolutely.
Because they might have some additional memories or different perception.
Definitely different perception, for sure. For sure.
Just looking at the global picture, what are some of the biggest changes that you see in the neighborhood? You're kind of an insider and an outsider because your parents are still here.
I am. Biggest changes. I know so much has changed.
Uh-huh.
It really has.
It might be too global a question.
Maybe.
Okay, so let's make it a bit smaller.
Sure.
You said that from what you remember when you were living here as a child was mainly Jewish and Portuguese.
Portuguese, some Italian and some Asian. But definitely predominantly Jewish and Portuguese, yeah.
And what was the relationship between all these different groups?
Oh, I think everyone got along really well. They really did. Everyone had someone to something to offer, and everyone was very friendly. Mm-hmm. I really was. I mean, it was a time where you can just allow your kids to be themselves out in the streets. And
if they disappeared into somebody's house, you didn't worry.
No one really worried, yeah. You knew they were being taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they all got along really well. I do remember down in Kensington Market, though, for sure. That was probably 90% owned by Jewish, and then about 10% Portuguese, because a lot of the Portuguese work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And slowly, as the years went by, you could tell like a lot of the Portuguese workers were starting to buy the businesses from. They were just getting older, didn't want the businesses, and you know a lot of the fruit markets and stuff like that. That changed a lot too. Yeah,
I know it used to be called the Jews Market.
Is that right?
That's one of the things that
right?
was called was the
yeah.
Jews Market. Yeah. So it became more Portuguese
it
as
did.
Jewish people got older.
Got older.
Yeah. And some of them moved up north and maybe that, didn't want the business.
I think that's there. Exactly what happened, yeah.
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 But the children all played easily with each other.
Absolutely.
And there was trust. And
absolutely, yeah.
Was there any exchange of food? Like, do you
definitely? There's, yeah, of course,
so
yeah.
You ate at each other's homes and ate each other's.
Absolutely,
food.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I remember as a young kid going to, I think his name, if I can recall his name, is David Lee, and I was maybe 7 or 8 years old, learning how to eat with chopsticks, which was amazing, right? Which is amazing.
So when you were in his home, they ate with chopsticks,
yeah,
and you did too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was neat. It was like, yeah.
You didn't go home to your Portuguese parents and tell them to buy chopsticks.
No. No, but it was just, you know, I mean, it was interesting. Yeah. Because like I said, everyone really got along with each other. And
did you ever learn any words from some of the other languages?
Sure I did. I probably couldn't recall right now, but...
Yeah. Do you recall any people working from their homes, having businesses at home?
Not really, unless you were a stay-at-home mom, or I don't remember anyone working from the home.
Yeah.
Everyone was out. Yeah.
And which schools did you go to? You started off at Lansdowne.
Started off at Lord Lansdowne, and for high school, both my brother and I ended up going up to Northern Secondary.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but Mount Pleasant and Eglinton. There, we had a lot of options: Central Tech, Harvard Collegiate, a lot of them. But they offered a lot of different courses that weren't being offered down here. And we took a chance and we went up there.
And you both went up there.
Yeah, we had Tommy Ho, who lives, he used to live, let me see, for 108, somewhere around maybe 114 Major Street, maybe.
Tommy in the pictures?
No.
Another Tommy.
This is a different Tommy Ho. He's same age as ours. As my brother and I, and he went up to Northern as well. So there's a few of us that went up to Northern. And he actually became one of the youngest cardiologists in Toronto, yeah. Very, very... Northern had a level 6 program, and that's why he went there, because he was just a genius, really. And, you know, he came from a family, you know, his parents were very hardworking. All the sons and daughters all became doctors and lawyers, and amazing.
Well, I guess the work ethic was very clear.
It was very clear.
Yeah. Well, just the way you said your wife's family said, you can't be an artist, get a real job.
Go to university.
Yeah.
It was same, yeah.
So that was, you have to find a way to support yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
When you look at the streets, I'm going to talk now a little bit about the traffic and... Have the streets changed in some way in terms of traffic?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, years ago, you could drive from the top of Harvard, or probably maybe even from Bloor, and it was one way all the way down till College Street. And now it's, you know, you can go one way half a block, then you got to turn around, go the other way. It's a lot more confusion now, but it's probably because, you know, people are driving faster, and people, you know, parents are more concerned about. This is another reason why we probably don't see a lot of kids out on the roads playing on the streets anymore as well. But yeah, there's definitely a lot more traffic congestion now than there was back then.
Yeah, and I think confusion.
you're right. I can sit on my dad's porch and within 10 minutes there'll be 3 or 4 cars going up the wrong way. And you know, that's why you need to, you know, I teach my 4.5-year-old, you have to make sure you look both ways before you cross. Just because you think that they're coming one way doesn't mean that's what, you know.
Yeah.
So there is that confusion for sure.
Yeah, I know that. Certainly when I'm crossing the street and my street cars are going south, I look the other way too.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Of those idiots.
There are a lot, and they don't care. You know, we can sit out there the wrong way and they're like...
Yeah, that's right.
Give you a wave. And
Yeah.
But that's certainly changed. Well, sorry, I just...
Go ahead.
A memory I had on the corner of Harvard and Major... there's a restaurant there now, Noir. It used to be Olive and Lemon.
Yes.
Anyway, so when I was a kid, that used to be a fish market. They would bring a truck. It's like a huge tank with live fish. And as kids, we'd always, when this truck pulled up in the laneway there, just next to the Harvard Bakery, they'd park in the laneway there and they'd have these big nets and scooping out these live fish for this fish market. And occasionally, some of the fish would fly out onto the street. So for us, that was a great memory, actually. I just can't believe...
Did they retrieve the fish, or did you
No,
grab
no,
them?
No, they retrieved the
they
fish. Yeah,
them,
yeah, they got the fish. But it was just amazing for us just to sit there and watch it.
So that
kids.
Was another activity the kids looked forward to.
Absolutely, yeah. My God, I can't believe I just remember that.
Talking about that... what other stores do you remember in that neighborhood? And the side streets, the corner stores, Harvard.
Oh, it's changed so much.
So just talk to me about the stores as they were.
I don't. You know, it's hard for me to, because there's been so much. It's so much change. Yeah. It's hard.
Okay, so you talked about that fish place. So people would go in, and the fish were swimming in tanks, or did they kill them as soon as they got them, and then you bought
them?
No,
I don't recall, because I don't know if I ever went inside the store, but I do remember that was your fresh fish of the day.
And Harbor Bakery was there, you said?
Harbor Bakery was there, yeah.
Did your family shop there? Or
occasionally, yeah. Occasionally, they do have the best bagels in town, as far as I'm concerned. But there was actually on corner of Ulster and Major, on the southwest corner, that was as well a convenience store. It's now someone's residence. Mm-hmm. I do remember that being a convenience store. There's a corner lot there.
You can see a lot of those homes that...
It used to be, yeah.
And you can see the side windows, and they were definitely stores.
Yeah. No, we had the park there on Ulster. We always hung out there at the park as well. Is it Margaret?
Brunswick?
Brunswick and Ulster.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time at that park, too.
Yeah. I think they're planning on modifying it. Well, we'll still keep the park, but they're going to do some changes, too. They're talking about that.
Yeah, and I was just thinking about that, too. Going south on the old... my brother was born at the old doctor's hospital, which is no longer there. Right? The old doctor's hospital.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a lot of changes.
I just met the daughter of one of the doctors.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. She talked to me about the hospital.
Yeah.
And her father and uncles.
That was, wow.
So your brother was born there, but you were born in Portugal. No.
He was born here.
Right.
And then my folks, I guess... This was during the transition of them making their move over to here. So they were here, you know, probably on Sussex, trying to figure out what was going on. Probably went back with me. Or I was pregnant.
Your mother was pregnant.
Pregnant. Well, they went back probably to retrieve maybe, you know, my grandma to bring back. I'm not really sure exactly the story, but...
So you were born there.
I was born there.
So the older brother was born here. Then they went back. You were born there.
That's right.
14 months later.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah.
Okay, so any other stores that you recall that corner store?
I do.
And did the kids use the corner store, or the parents use the corner? Yeah. Who used the corner store?
Yeah,
everybody.
The community. Everybody went to the corner store. Yeah, for sure.
Where else did they shop?
Well, I know, like I said, from my parents, they shopped a lot down in Kensington Market because...
Prices,
and there were a lot of Portuguese down there, mm-hmm. so that they can communicate, and, you know, it was easier for them when they first got here. I'd say they spent more time going south than they did north.
It was more ethnic setting, probably.
It was.
A market, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. In terms of stores, well, it's hard for me to
say. Okay, so Kensington was there, and this fish place, which was obviously a busy... It sounds to me it was probably a very busy place.
It was, yes.
Yeah. The front porches, how were those used? Did your family use the front porch much in the warm weather?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There was. I don't think there was any central air conditioning back then. And yeah, so a lot of the time, absolutely, we're spent out on the porch. Yeah. And it's amazing because all the porches were kind of filled with people. Everyone would hang out outside, you know.
Yeah. I think that's another feeling of community.
Absolutely.
At night, people hung around outside, and during the day, if the mothers were finished their work and the kids were playing, they might just be out there observing to some extent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unless they were working outside.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Did you have a backyard behind your house?
There is a backyard there, but very, maybe 15 by 15.
So it was tiny.
Small, yeah.
And was it used at all for anything?
It was growing vegetables, as far as I can remember. It was basically growing vegetables. I mean, it was a concrete pad, but there were many of those wine barrels cut in half, filled mm-hmm. with dirt, you know, tomatoes, lettuce, peppers, those kind of thing.
Well, that's significant because you could feed your family.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Generously, and all very fresh and tasty.
Yeah.
And who was the gardener, the mother, your father?
I think both. They were both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you grow up doing some gardening too?
Oh, I love gardening today.
Oh, you
do? I do. You know, the one thing I wish I had is more land so I could grow. Because right now it's more of a, you know, I have a lot of grass down because I have young kids and I want them to have a place to play. So my backyard used to be just all tomato plants. And then,
wow.
Yeah, before we purchased a home, and I said, okay, you know what, the kids can't, they need somewhere to play. And so yeah, I kind of tore it out, put some grass down there, but I would love to, you know, one day maybe when they're a little older, start growing some more vegetables. It's
well,
amazing.
You probably learned to love it because you did it with your parents, and they did it very naturally.
Absolutely.
I'm the opposite. I never saw anybody doing it. I don't know how to do it.
You know, and quite honestly, like we'd travel back to Portugal almost every 2 summers, mm-hmm. and when we went away, we wouldn't really be a vacation. You'd still be going over there to work and helping out grandma, whoever was there. You know, get the hoe out and start bringing up some potatoes and carrots, and it was a lot of work.
Yeah. A lot of work, but you're also so familiar with it.
Absolutely.
And you can do it without feeling intimidated, which
oh,
is describing me.
Yeah, definitely enjoy it.
You didn't have air conditioning, you said. Have your parents put in air conditioning?
They have, yes. Yeah. They have air conditioning.
And did they do that about 35 years ago or more recently?
Yeah, I'm going to say about 35 years
ago.
Well,
you said they did big renovations at that time and lowered it.
That's right, yeah. It would have been done back then, I would assume. Yeah, to have all the duct work in the house and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So, but when you were a kid...
I remember the big oil tank in the basement. You know, the truck would pull up, maybe once a month or whatever it was, and he'd sit there filling the tank, and I do remember them. I remember them when they were renovating the basement, they pulled that tank out, and mm-hmm. yeah, wow.
So those are, you know, if I ask about the changes in a global way, it's hard to think of them.
Yeah.
And when we talk specifically about things, there's so many things that we can, that you can recall.
I recall the beer store.
Where was that?
The beer store was on a truck. The truck would come down your street and deliver your beer.
This is the first time I'm hearing about this.
Yeah, it was the beer truck. Then there was the pop shop or whatever. They'd have certain companies with, you know, ginger ale, pop, different types of sodas. They'd come down the street.
Would they honk their horn or ring a bell?
Yeah, it was. You know, it was probably like on a Saturday, so everyone knew. Everyone's hanging out, waiting for them to come by. And yeah, it was amazing. IPA beer. I remember that. One of my best friends' dad, the beer store would stop off in front of his house and get his cup. It was amazing.
And you actually called it the beer store. The beer
well,
store.
That's what I did. Yeah, that's what I call it. Yeah. Yeah, I do remember that. Wow.
What about pets? Did anybody have pets at home?
Not really. Not that I can recall.
Yes, there were too many people.
There's too many people, yeah. There's definitely a lot of people. Yeah.
So you don't recall many people or any people having cats and dogs?
No, not really. I know Mrs. White from across the street, she always had...
those two big
dogs. She always had two big dogs, yeah. And she was, you know, because there were so many of us kids playing around, the dogs got riled up. She wasn't too happy with us, but...
So did she have them behind a fence?
They were in their fence.
Uh-huh.
They were behind the fence.
But they would start barking and she would get angry at the kids.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess, yeah, it was good times.
The University of Toronto, I mean, you were a child and you left, but do you have any sense of the university having any influence on the neighborhood?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the house directly across from my dad's has always been, as far as I can remember, has always been rented to universities, to U of T students. I mean, it almost seems like every house, for a period of time, it felt like every house that was going for sale, the university would buy it because it would be great for rentals. So there are definitely, you'll find a lot of university students in the neighborhood for sure.
I know now I sometimes listen to stories or I've had experiences where they get pretty noisy, especially in the warm weather and their parties extend onto the street. Was that ever an issue for your family? Or
No, I don't think so. You know, it's one of the, I mean, it occasionally happened, but it wasn't every... I mean, these people are paying way too much to go to university, and they're, you know, I mean, they really had their noses to the books, and so they didn't really have the time.
So at that time, they weren't partying or
I don't think
noisy.
So. I mean, like I said, it happened occasionally, but I don't think it got to... I mean, there were occasionally, you know, days where... everyone wake up and everyone's antennas on their cars would have been bent over, but who's to say who did that?
Yeah.
Could have been some university kids on a wild Saturday night or something, but that's going to happen.
That's annoying. Yeah.
These are things that happen no matter where you go. But.
What about the JCC? Was that part of your life at all?
Yeah. I mean, I, as I got older, I have memberships to go to JCC. We'd play squash, racquetball there all the time, mm-hmm. and things like that. I use the swimming pool. They have a great saltwater pool there.
Yeah, it's very nice. Yeah.
You know, and even to this day, you know, like my young daughter would take lessons there as well and stuff. But it was definitely part of it.
Mm-hmm. So we talked about Kensington Market. What about churches and synagogues? Did your family belong to one? Were there a lot of them around? What?
We used to go. My parents were never very, very religious. I mean, we would occasionally go to Mass on Sundays, and we'd go up to St. Peter's.
Where's
on
that?
Bathurst.
Okay. Just north of Bloor.
Just north of Bloor, just across the street from the Bathurst Street Station, subway station. We'd go there. But no, we weren't very religious in that way, so.
And do you remember any synagogues in the neighborhood?
I do. There was the one, I believe,
there's one
on Brunswick,
just north
of Harvard.
That's
there's
still
that
there.
One on the east
yeah.
side.
Yeah, that's still there.
And was there another one along Ulster? Maybe just west of Bathurst?
Oh, yes. There's one at Markham and Ulster.
Oh, maybe Markham.
That's still there too.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's still there.
That's Knox Church, which is on Spadina there. Mm-hmm. We bowling alleys. They had a bowling alley. I mean, as kids, we'd go there. And
where?
As far as, I don't know if it was, you know, I can't even remember if it was at the church or the building next to it.
But on
it
was Spadina.
On Spadina there, yeah. Knox Church, yeah. They had like little bowling alleys down in the basement.
Oh, in the church they had bowling alleys.
Like I said, I don't recall if it was actually in the church
or next door.
But it was all part of the Knox Church. Yeah.
But it was part of Knox Church, isn't that? That's interesting. I mean, it was a way to bring young people people into the church.
Yeah. And we're going, just if I may,
yeah,
it's reminding me of when Dr. Morgenthaler was there on Harvard Street.
Yes.
And there was a friend of mine, his dad threatened him. I remember he got taken away. He threatened him with some garden shoes. He was doing some gardening and he saw him walk by or whatever, and because, you know, he was obviously a very religious man or whatever. And
so he threatened Morgenthaler.
Morgenthaler with these...
You know, directly,
yeah. So the cops came, took him away. Oh my God, that was years ago too.
That's not nearly as bad as whoever burnt it down.
True. That's right. So I guess that's changed. Yeah.
You know, nobody has brought up the Morgenthaler Clinic and how this man, good Catholic man, was so angry about what he was doing.
Yeah, that's true. Because he's, you know, now he's in our neighborhood and he just couldn't... Yeah, it was hard for him to see him there.
Oh, well, clearly he felt he was killing babies.
Absolutely, yeah. Wow.
Interesting memory that just, you never know what's going to pop into your mind.
Oh, my goodness.
He talked about two things. One is the kids were out there and playing after breakfast. They'll come have lunch and come have dinner. And then bending aerials on cars.
Yeah.
Generally, what are your thoughts about the security and the safety of this neighborhood?
Back then or today?
Both.
Like I said, back then, I think it was a lot. It felt safer. Mm-hmm. Everyone knew each other. And I think that went a long way with, you know, parents allowing their kids to be out there and doing what they wanted to do. Because they knew they would be taken care of. Everyone really, truly looked out for each other.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, you can go away on holidays and knew that, you know, your house was not only there. Someone was going to cut your grass. Someone was going to take care, you know, get your mail. Nowadays, you have to, call someone from out of town. Can you make sure you come down to take my mail? It's different nowadays. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like I said, the sense is that people are maybe afraid or tend not to meet each other almost. You know, you get new
privacy.
People want to be private. Yeah. It's a lot more of that today than there was back then, for sure. For sure.
It sounds very nice the way you describe it.
It was amazing.
There was a real sense of we, and we'll help each other and we'll take care of each other. And if you're at work, we'll watch out for your kids.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
there was a sense of community for sure.
Yeah. And the market, it sounds to me as if your family really used it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I probably worked at 90% of the markets down in Kensington. As a kid. Yeah, it was
really? After school, summer?
Oh, sure. Like, I probably started working when I was 9 or 10 years old. You know, got on my bike, got down, you know, maybe for $10 a day or whatever it was.
And what would you do? What were one or two of the jobs that you did there?
Well, I would work at some of the fruit markets. So it would have been, you know, stocking the fruit stands and stuff like that. I remember once I don't think it's any longer there. It was a pharmacy at the corner of Major and College on the north east corner. I forget the name of it. Okay. Weinstein's.
Okay.
Maybe Weinstein's. Uh-huh. And as maybe 10, 11-year-old, I would deliver drugs to the neighborhood on my little bike. You'd give me the prescriptions. Okay, you gotta go take this to Miss whoever,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, that's a charming little story.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So yeah. You've been working since a young age.
That's like we're saying, that work ethic, right? It's like, yeah, it's always, listen, you know what? My parents always provide us what we needed. Anything above and beyond, you had to go work and make your own money for what you wanted, which was fine, which is great.
Yeah, I think it's a good message.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've pretty well covered all the topics. When you agreed to come and speak to me, and I assumed you understood that we were going to be talking about your life while you... Is there anything that you thought of at that time that I haven't brought up? We've talked about the stores. Anything about...
I mean, I'm surprised at how many memories have popped up just us sitting here talking. These are things that... Yeah.
But what about dating? Did you start dating at 12 or 15? Did you go as groups?
Dating, wow, that was... I think I was a late bloomer. I was too interested. Honestly, I was too interested in playing my sports and doing things of that nature. Then I wasn't in girls until, you know, maybe towards the end of high school or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just...
I love that expression, late bloomer.
Late bloomer, yeah, late bloomer. I had some catching up to do.
Yeah. I hope you did.
Yeah, no, it was great. Yeah, but in terms of dating, yeah, no, not really.
Yeah, okay.
I was a shy young fella too, so yeah, things have changed.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, yeah. I think, you know, as when we say goodbye to each other, if there's something else that comes to your mind, I'll turn this back on.
Sure, sure.
Just for now, I want to say thank you very much. It's been a pleasure
listening
to your
me.
Stories. Yeah,
it was great. Thank you so much.